Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. Congrats, you're winning a pair of tickets to see the Wizards against the Hawks. Coming up on Tuesday, less than a week away, November 25th at Capital One Arena. Close out the NBA Cup at Capital One Arena. The team's going to be wearing their City Edition uniforms, and the first 10,000 fans are getting a Bub Carrington-designed pajama pants, courtesy of the Washington Wizards.
We are exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condor and Morad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration, they can help you out in so many ways. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
It is time to go blitzing. We'll cover the Wiz, the NFL, the Commanders, all in one segment. Let's get it going. Varun Shankar of the Washington Post, the Everybody Eats show as well. Varun, thank you for a couple of moments. We appreciate you here on the Blitz. Give us a little Wiz State of the Union.
Ooh, it's a interesting time for the Wizards right now, who are coming off a pretty bad loss to the only team in the NBA who's, I think has a similar record to them, one of the few at least, and the Brooklyn Nets. After the game, things were not good mood-wise, because you could see that Ryan Keefe was upset with his team for how he said they buckled to adversity, and then the Wizards had a players-only meeting. You look back at the film from that game, you see a ton of defensive mistakes. You see poor communication. You see guys getting beat on backdoor cuts all the time. It was as ugly as the Wizards made it sound, and it was clearly something where they saw enough that made them think that this was worse than the average loss, and they decided to address it in the way that they did. We'll see how they do tonight.
Why hasn't Bub Carrington kind of taken to his second year like some of the other guys have? It just seems like he's out of place for him.
Yeah, I think you're seeing with Bub Carrington that these are young players who are being asked to do new things, and in some situations, like you see with Keyshawn George and Alex Starr, you're seeing it work. With Bub, you're seeing the other side of it, where he's being asked to do new things, and it's not going so well to start. It's also worth noting that Bub is particularly young, even for a second-year player. He's just about 20 years old, and while the gap between 20.2 and 20.8 might not seem that much, that half a year can have really big impacts for development curves. He's trying to get to the rim more, and you're seeing that he's struggling to finish once he's there. You're also seeing that he is a... You could see that there's a lack of strength right now to his game, which makes sense. Again, he's very young and has not been in NBA weight programs for that long. But you're seeing that he gets bumped off his spot on defense, but also on offense when he's trying to get inside. And it's led to an adjustment period for him. And he has, I think, looked a lot worse than he will for the rest of the season. This is about as bad as an NBA player can honestly play right now with Bub. And you're just seeing some of the severe growing pains he's had to deal with through year two. I do think that he'll get better as the year goes on.
The best thing that's happened so far in this Wizards season is they've gone 1-12. Getting ready for the Wolves tonight at 8 p.m. is what?
the best thing for the Wizards so far has to be Alex Saar's growth, because that 2024 draft was not well regarded at the time. And looking back, there's a little bit more talent than I think people initially expected, a little bit more high-end talent than people expected. The Wizards picked Saar at number two. The guy who looks like the best player from that class right now is Stephon Castle. The guy who looks like potentially the second best player from that class is the guy in Chicago, Matas Buzelis. If Saar was not having a decidedly improved season from his first year, like he's shown so far, we would be faced with a lot of unwelcome questions to the Wizards about how they might have not taken anywhere close to the best player in that class. But instead, with Saar's growth, you're seeing what they saw with Saar, and you're seeing someone who can be a really good player for years to come.
Everybody Eats Podcast. Varun, thank you as always, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thank you guys so much.
You have a great rest of your week. Let's talk NFL, please. Our pal Mike Jones of The Athletic to discuss the National Football League. How for real is Chicago?
I mean, I think that they can squeak into the playoffs. I don't think that they are a real contender. Some of these games, you know, it's great they've been able to pull them out. But at the same time, they very easily could have gone the other way. They are definitely a work in progress, and they are making strides, and that's great. But I think when they go against some of these teams, say they go into the playoffs and they face the Eagles or, you know, a team like that that's got experience and this is the first time they're being there, I think that they will definitely fall short.
How about the Ravens, who beat the Browns barely this past week? They're probably going to win the division, but I still can't figure out if they're any good or not.
They always struggle. Those NFC North teams, you know, they have close games with each other. They beat each other up. I think that the Ravens can be good. I think that they can make a run. We're seeing their defense now has, finally started clicking. Their offense is back on track. They've got Derrick Henry, who is being much more effective in the run game. I still just wonder, though, about their pass catchers. Andrews is nice. Dave Flowers is nice. But there's nobody that really scares you, you know, and I feel like they need a guy that, a game changer type of target for Lamar Jackson, and they don't have that. And so, yeah, I don't know. But when you look at everybody else in the AFC, everybody's flawed. We saw them, score 40-something points against Buffalo, and still lose. So they can put up those points. If their defense is improved, then hopefully they can get some stops. But this is a wide open year, and so I don't count them out. I agree with you. I think they're going to win their division. I think they have enough to win, but again, I just there's something about them that I don't see them as prolific as what you would like to see them as far as, their pass catchers and, the passing game.
What did we learn from that Rams and Seahawks game?
I think that the Rams are the most well-rounded team in the league. I think that their defense is fantastic. Their offense, obviously, they ran into a very good defense with Seattle. And they went cold a little bit. But as the game, wound down, they finally started getting things clicking again. They pulled off the win. Their defense is, a handful. And it's going to be a handful for a lot of teams. And so I think that Seattle's a good team. I think they're a playoff team. Yes, Sam Darnold threw, the ball away a ton of times, but I still think that they are a quality team that can be, trouble in the postseason.
How sure should we be that the Chiefs are even going to make the playoffs? They're 5-5 hosting the Colts on Sunday.
It's hard to imagine Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo not making the playoffs. It's possible. I think that they'll wind up pulling it off and getting there. But again, when you look at the teams that they've lost to that are also battling for wild card spots like Buffalo and Jacksonville, they've lost to those teams. And so those teams have an edge over them. So they really have to come out here and they really have no margin for error. They're 5-5. Does that mean that they have to win out the rest of the way? Kind of close. They basically can, you know, maybe go, you know, one loss, but the rest of it, they have to win it to really have a good shot of making it.
Similar question for the Lions. They're 6-4 outside looking in if the playoffs started today. Their schedule's not as arduous maybe down the stretch, so you'd think they got a good chance to stockpile some wins, but will it be enough? Again, they have to climb over a couple teams like San Francisco, Green Bay in their own division, Seattle, et cetera.
Yeah, you know, what San Francisco has done with all these injuries, despite all these injuries, is really impressive. And so then, you know, they're getting Brock Purdy back. They're having young guys who are growing into their role. And you think, hey, maybe they're trouble. But then at the same time, you just kind of wonder, are they going to run out of gas, these injuries? You know, is it going to take its toll? And so I think the door is open there for Detroit. But at the same time, look, they've got a lot of talent, but things just aren't quite clicking offensively. They miss Ben Johnson. I don't think that Dan Campbell is really the answer as a play caller. I'm curious, you know, can David Shaw not call plays? You know, Mark Brunell's been there a while, you know, former quarterback, obviously, so he's got the mindset. I just don't know. There's something about them that you can definitely envision them making a big run, but at the same time, the way that their offense struggles and then how, you know, they can't figure out what they want to be at times. You know, you've got two really dynamic running backs and you didn't use them very much last week. And so they might wind up hurting themselves. I think they'll get into the playoffs. I think some of these kind of middling teams will kind of, you know, fall apart. There's teams that are kind of right there on the edge and fall apart. And you would think that the cream will rise. And so I think Detroit winds up squeaking into there.
Mike Jones of The Athletic. Thank you, buddy. Good catching up.
All right, I'll see you guys.
Yeah,
see you,
be good, man. Let's talk local football. Michael Phillips, Odyssey Richmond, MP on the mic in the capital of the Commonwealth. Michael, we were talking about this earlier. Is there a path to Joe Witt being the play-calling defensive coordinator for this team next year?
Well, it doesn't feel like it. I mean, I don't understand why you'd go back there. You'd have to be really successful down the stretch, which sounds counterintuitive, but essentially Dan Quinn would have to have the capital to say, this is my guy and I'm going back to my guy and he's figured it out. And unless this defense gets a lot better, I think he's probably on too shaky of ground with his bosses to make that case.
Is Joe Witt done for here? Like, we were trying to figure this out. I've kind of been under the assumption as soon as he lost play calling duties, he was a dead man walking in terms of being the defensive coordinator again. But we were trying to maybe workshop a path back to him calling plays at some point, kind of getting reinstated if the defense isn't good, etc. I thought it was just, you know, this is a move by Dan Quinn to say, well, I'm too nice to fire you. I'll keep you around and hope the Wolves leave the door. But eventually we're going to have to replace you. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think it also depends if Dan Quinn wants to replace him, right? You could see a scenario going into next year where Dan Quinn keeps play calling duties and keeps Joe Witt around. And, you know, that depends on if Joe Witt wants to go back to being a play calling defensive coordinator and whether there's a market for him to do that or whether he wants to go be a position coach somewhere and start climbing up that ladder again. It's, you know, a lot of dominoes here. And I continue to think the Cliff Kingsbury one's a big one, right? If he gets a head coaching job somewhere, I think that creates a pretty big level of flux here. It's going to have to be addressed. If he doesn't, I could definitely see Josh Harris saying, let's just push the run it back button. Everybody keep your places.
Are there things that can be done with this roster in terms of accentuating young players that you think should be coming out of the bye, starting with Denver?
Well, I think your easy one is Bobby Wagner, and I love Bobby Wagner, and I got a ton of respect for Bobby Wagner, but he's playing 100% of snaps on this professional football team, and that number's got to change coming out of the bye. There's just no other way to get the guys you need to get out there, to get them the snaps they need, to get the learning experience you need. I know he's not going to love that. I'm glad he got to 100, got, you know, in this last game, got to tie London Fletcher 14 seasons in a row of doing that, but it's hard for me to hear a case that he should continue to play 100% of the snaps.
Are there any changes that can be made? I mean, I'm always advocating when your season's over for, hey, let's get some young players in there. They don't have any players. I mean, like, no one's healthy. Nobody's available. Are there any players that you'd go, hey, I'd like to see more of that guy? Because you mentioned Wagner and McGee, obviously, but are there any others that you might like to see get a shot?
I think late in the season's always a great time to open the mystery box, right? Like, let Adam Peters get out there on the market. There's probably some guys who, you know, were cuts of the bubble on cut day at teams maybe they haven't caught on this year. Maybe they're on a practice squad somewhere, right? You think about, you know, Rule 5 guys in baseball. You steal a practice squad guy in football, you've got to commit to him being on the active roster for 3 weeks. Well, this is a team that can afford to do that. You know, they can take some chances. I'm all for taking those chances, bringing some guys in, kicking some tires, seeing what happens.
Michael Phillips, Odyssey in Richmond. As always, buddy, thank you for joining the
Hey, have a good
Blitz.
One, boys.
See you, pal.
Be good. There's our buddy, MP, on the mic. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Got an audio vault for you, Danny.
Oh, I like it.
Some of the best audio I could find on the interwebs should be good. We'll do that next right here on the Fan.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Danny, we'll start with Shedeur Sanders. He is a lightning rod. There has been all kinds of polarizing takes on him in all directions. But I want to give him some flowers on a cut that I really like here, where after he played his debut game for the Browns, and it didn't go very well, 4-for-16, I think he threw for 47 yards or something. He had an interception, another interception that was dropped right in the hands of a defender and took some sacks. It would have been easy for him, frustrated, to not have been thinking about anything other than, you know, himself and his future. But he's at the podium, and he's talking about how fans were chanting for him while Dylan Gabriel was playing earlier in the game. Gabriel ended up getting hurt, and fans didn't know that. They thought maybe he'd just been benched at halftime, because right out of the half, Shedeur came in. It was actually that Gabriel had a concussion. But they were cheering for Shedeur, and he said, look, I love the support, but it doesn't help me, it doesn't help Dylan, it doesn't help the team if you are booing him after every incompletion, when Gabriel actually completed a lot of passes and played okay on, you know, mostly checkdowns during his half in the game for Cleveland when they actually had a lead when he got hurt. This was Sanders postgame.
I'm extremely thankful. Well, first, let me say this. when Dylan out there playing and all that, I appreciate the fans, I appreciate everybody, but it don't really, I'm a good person overall, so I don't really like him not feeling comfortable, confident, you know, when he get out there. So, you know, it puts everything in a tough spot, you know, and it's not helping the team, you know. So that could be taken as, okay, I'm being a distraction, even though I ain't doing that. You know, I'm not doing that, but I'm thankful for the supporters, thankful for the fans, thankful for everybody out there, you know, that believes. And, yeah, when I got out there, I definitely felt them.
I just like the awareness there of, hey, I'm not trying to be a distraction, but you're making me a distraction if you're rooting against the quarterback who's actually on the field. That showed it was a grown-up moment.
I loved that. And again, the I think there are two silos or categories we can talk about. The pre-draft and leading up to the draft, where I think it's perfectly fair to offer critiques and say, hey, this, you know, this didn't go as well, or maybe here's why. We're working back from a result. Once he was drafted, it went to the Cleveland Browns. All he's trying to do is play football, and that's hard. That's really, really hard to do. So everybody that was dunking from the previous silo is now looking to do that same thing, and people that are championing him and you know, taking every completion as if it's the greatest completion in human history as some sort of testament to his aptitude and some sort of weird conspiracy to be against him, everyone's embarrassing themselves. That was very heady, mature, smart, and kind of wise beyond his years. Understanding that, because it'd be really easy to say, like, you know, kind of sheepishly, like, yeah, I heard it's pretty cool. You know, like, if I'm 22, like, right, people are chanting my name, I might have had a different reaction. Good for him.
Speaking of dunking on quarterbacks, Sam Darnold, who's been incredible for most of the year for Seattle, had a really rough game against the Rams in the biggest game of the year for the Seahawks. They fell to 7-3. He was intercepted 4 times. A little bit misleading. I think one of them was chucking the ball down the field toward the end of the game, but wasn't pretty, and he didn't play well. And immediately you saw the reaction was, here we go, turned into a pumpkin. You know, everyone was able to get their shots in and confirm their priors and high five about it. Well, one of Sam's teammates, defensive lineman Ernest Jones, didn't like what he was hearing and told people as much.
I mean, Sam's been balling. Like, if we want to try to define Sam by this game or what, man, Sam's been had us in every game. So for him to sit there and say, oh, that's my fault. No, it's not. It was plays that defensively we could have made plays. There were opportunities where we could have got better stops. Yeah, I mean, like, it's football, man. And he's our quarterback. We got his back. And you got anything to say, quite frankly?
The clip cuts off.
Then what? What did he say?
Bleep you,
yeah,
is what he says there. That's a good culture.
I love that.
What they have built in Seattle, 7-3 right now under Mike McDonald, and you can hear it right there, is, dare I say, a brotherhood.
Here we go. Show me brotherhood. It's pretty good. So let me say this real quick. Good for that dude, right? Stepping up and saying that, because that was awesome. I can also say it was Darnold's fault. That was terrible. He was awful in the game. And you probably lost because he turned it over 3 times. And, you know, the fourth one, as you said, was more desperation. But those 3 interceptions, you're not winning that way. You go -4 in that regard. You lost to a really good football team because of that. If you don't turn it over, you got a great shot. That's a great indicator that you're going to end up losing that game, right? So, well, I don't care about the content, whether it's right or wrong. I'm not here to debate. What I am here to do is say that's fantastic, because his point is correct, largely, where you go, have you noticed where we are?
Right.
Have you seen any of what's gone on to this point? That dude's been awesome, and we're going to ride with him because that's the aberration this year. Good for him.
Yeah, and it's true that you can't turn it over that many times and win in a important big game against a good team. And there were, like, one of the picks was a 3rd-and-3 jump throw where he, like, jumps up in the air and almost like, you know, a basketball player who has to shoot before he comes down. Just kind of launches the ball into the chest of a defender he doesn't see. Really, really bad. But there's a pick, and I haven't actually studied it to know what happened. But, like, his tight end Arroyo is kind of running in the seam, and he crosses behind the DB, and Darnold throws it inside. And it's an interception. And he probably on that play thinks he's going to cut across the face. And in the building, they'll know who was right, who was wrong, what's he supposed to do on that play. But there are things like that that happen. Not all interceptions are created equal. So they might grade it as like, hey, there were 2 really bad decisions on your 4 interceptions or whatever. And the point is, he turned it over. He played badly. True. But teams don't view it the same way we do necessarily. There's more context to it. There, you know, a coach might say, I put you in a bad spot on this down and distance. We were supposed to get quarters, and we didn't, and we ran the play for this look, and we didn't get it. There's probably, even on his bad plays, there's going to be a lot of other guys in the building saying, I also didn't do a great job on that play. But you're the quarterback. Heavy lies the crown. You're getting all the credit all season as you're lighting it up. You got to take the blame, and he had no problem doing that. He said it was his fault, but I liked that his teammate grabbed his back. Speaking of leadership and culture, I loved this cut from Deion Dawkins. What a stud he is. Great tackle for the Bills. He's one of these guys that's always fighting people anytime they get close to Josh Allen. Loves his defending his guy. How about this tough love for Keon Coleman, the wide receiver that got scratched by the Bills this week?
I already spoke to him. When I spoke to Keon before in this game, and I told him, I said, bro, look, don't even worry about it. Everybody goes through a different journey, right? Let's just say that this is the last time, and let's just move forward. And he said, I'm with you. That's all and we need, right? Like, nobody's perfect, but in this league, we need guys to come on. And Keon knows, right? Now he's in the hot seat, and he needs to come on and show up for us. Pat's on the back are over with, and it's time for him to grow up, and he knows it. And as an older player on the team, we hold everybody accountable. And we shoot straight. We don't sugarcoat it. And the words were said to him, and he took it well. And we'll see how it goes in this week. But like I said in the beginning of the season, I'm in Keon's corner, man. Like, this league is hard. Being on time is hard. Being great is hard. Pushing for greatness is hard. So we got his back, but the time is now.
What a great, great quote that is from Deion Dawkins, the four-time Pro Bowler. I don't have to know anything else about him. I happen to have already liked him and saw him all over Hard Knocks and whatever else. That guy could have a spot on my team every single year that I'm coaching in the league, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, just that answer right there. What I loved about it, he said, like, we got to be accountable and we don't sugarcoat things, as he's not sugarcoating things. Yeah. As he's saying, it's hard to be great. It's hard to be on time. Backpacks are over, man. Backpacks are over. Like, you got to start living up to the hype here a little bit. And not to call out the Commanders or whatever, but, like, teams and people will always be like, oh, we don't sugarcoat it, as they're sugarcoating it. When's the last time you heard a quote like that in the locker room about anybody? Now, I'm not saying you always want to air out your laundry, but, like, if something happens with a Commander and they're suspended for a play or two, and this is the norm, it's respectable. I'm not saying it's wrong, but it'll be like, oh, we're handling that in-house and, you know, nothing to say, basically. That is the opposite of that. Like, you're challenging this guy in a very heartfelt way with love. You know what that feels like? A brotherhood.
Every athlete has gone through that at any level. You've had to have one of those moments where, hey, this is what the standard is. And when you just use words like standard or accountability, and they're just buzzwords and there's no follow through, they're just words. And that was my biggest gripe here. They love to use the word standard. They love to use words like accountability, hold each other accountable. Was anybody held to account for a month during one of the worst stretches ever? Wasn't until the very end when we finally made any kind of substantive change after it already happened. This was one bleep up. You look at Dallas. We always think of them as just a gong show, right? It's always Jerry's World, this, that, and the other. Their two star receivers in a game they have to have were benched for some sort of disciplinary issue. I still don't know what it was. Maybe you guys know and I don't. But they were benched. You did something about it. It's one thing to say if this, then that, and then you don't follow through, then it's all meaningless. And I see other teams doing it, and I haven't seen it enough here.
Giants just benched their defensive end. Who
Abdul Carter is late to meetings
Abdul
all the time.
Abdul Carter slept through a meeting. And they're like, yeah, man, you're in trouble. So sorry about that. Mm-hmm. Like, this is coming out all around the league. You're seeing some of this stuff. All right, let's dabble down to the college level and the University of Georgia. Go Dawgs. Kirby Smart, the head coach at Georgia. I just loved this quote from him talking about players in the NIL era who want checks coming to Georgia.
Yeah, it's the approach we take. We're gonna dominate and try to win the fourth quarter. It's what we do in practice. It's what we do in the offseason. It's what we build our core culture around, is being the more physical team. And you have to recruit physical players, and they have to buy into that process. I don't know that a lot of these kids nowadays, they want a check. They don't want physicality. And if you have the check and no physicality, you end up with nothing. So we're not just getting checks at our place. We're hitting people.
We're not just getting checks at our place. We're hitting people is so good, man. Also, by the way, I saw like a bunch, that quote was getting sent all over the internet, and a bunch of former Georgia players and other people from the SEC were coming out to talk about Kirby Smart's practices and how violent and legit physical they are. Somebody was, I don't remember who it was, but it was like the first day I was there, like I couldn't believe it. The way that we practiced, the amount of physicality, Like, it is a separation of men from boys in a very real football way. Very fast, if you're going to hang in that program or not. And you got to do it in a different way than you used to with, like, you know, throwing two guys in the middle.
Sure, sure, sure.
Doing Oklahoma drills. But I don't think it's that far off from that as far as this era goes. Another Kirby Smart answer here that I found that I liked. And he was just cutting promos this week, apparently. Because somebody asked him about players transferring away. The portal's open and, you know, there's guys that are backups or whatever at Georgia that might look to hop elsewhere. So this is the question and the answer on that.
Kirby, how do you balance? You talked about after the game, guys wanting a check. You don't have guys that just want to check. You have guys that want to play physical. If you have really hard physical practices, how do you balance keeping kids from saying, this is just too much, I'm ready to hit the portal, I'll go somewhere else where it's easier? But you still have to make them physical, so you have to kind of put them through that grind. How do you balance it?
We schedule them. The ones that want to leave, we schedule them. We try to get them on the schedule, because when they want to leave because they're not physical, that means they're probably going to a place that's not physical. We like those places. We like to play them. We prefer them, actually, if you can get them on the schedule. So it's one of those deals that you don't run from hard in life. You run from hard in life, you'll find more hard.
That's a football cowboy.
Buddy.
Look into the eyes of the man next to you.
It's easy to say. Like, if you, it's like, why are you leaving? Because it's easier. Okay, where are you going? Okay, I'm going to Texas Tech.
Schedule.
Okay, it's fine. I mean, it's easy to say we're going to schedule.
It's a great line.
But it's about the line.
It's Tomlin yesterday.
Yeah.
When Tomlin said, I don't remember the exact quote, but
what comes naturally.
Yeah. Exactly. There it is. If you get spit on, what do you tell your players if they get spit on so they don't punch back? I don't. You get spit on, do what comes naturally. Like, that's just a badass line.
It's pretty tough.
My guy Kirby Smart cutting some promos. Here's a great – didn't have the best quote of the week by a college coach, though, that I heard. Mike Elko, you familiar?
No.
This is the head coach, the star at Texas A&M. They're the top five team in the country right now.
Oh, he's a Texas A&M coach. Okay.
They were up 30-3. Excuse me, they were down 30-3, rather, and they came back to win 31-30. So they come back 28 unanswered in the second half, or else your chances of getting where they want to go is probably over.
You're almost cooked.
And he was asked about that. Basically, and this idea of this comeback, and what did you do at halftime? What did you say? And I thought his answer was amazing.
Because that's what we owe it to them. Like, you know, what do you want us to do? Panic? Like, again, like, this speech, I'm sure, will come out at halftime, and everyone thinks this is this amazing speech at halftime. It's not. Like, we won that game 6 months ago with what we did in the winter. Like, we didn't win that game because I went in at halftime and said something. Like, we built a culture, we built a character, we built a commitment to doing things the way we want to do them back in January and February, and that's what came out in the second half. And it's not like, oh, I went in and I riled them up, and because I riled them up, they started playing. Like, that's not how this works. It just doesn't. And so, like, I have to be calm and collective. Like, it's my job is to be calm and collective when they're frantic. My job is to create intensity when they're not intense. My job is to always be opposite the moment. It's not to let the moment take me away. I'm the 48-year-old guy who's supposed to see this thing with clear eyes. They're the 18 to 21-year-old kids who get emotional. And so it's easy for me. It's easy for me to try to help them get through it as best I can. Now, again, I don't want to be in that situation. I'm not saying I do, but when you're in it, you got to try to figure your way out of it, and we were able to do that.
Everything about that's great.
No notes, as the kids say.
Yeah, no notes. I have one note, actually. Calm and collective always ricks me. It's calm and collected. He botched that cliche.
Did he say calm and collective? I didn't pick that up.
Multiple times. He said collective, I-V-E.
Yeah, that's incorrect. Okay, let me make a note.
Yeah, so
Mike Elko.
That's my one note. Last one here. We'll hit this on the way out, but I thought this was really funny. So this is less awesome college coach inspirational stuff. Darnell Washington, the gotta-be 300-pound tight end with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who's really a tackle. He's listed at 260. So they were joking. Did you see his play this week where he was, like, stiff-arming everyone just into next week?
Just dudes into tomorrow.
He was pinballing off of people, throwing them into the bleachers. One guy ended up in section 217. He's just running over guys. He's massive and just a big old heavy tight end. He honestly looks like a guard. But anyway, he was on a podcast with Amon-Ra St. Brown and his brother, the St. Brown Brothers podcast, which is greatly named. And they asked him what his actual weight was.
How much do you weigh?
Yeah, bro. I got to ask, bro. Because
the internet said 260. I'm bro. Like, not 260, bro.
Yeah, bro. We looked it up. Like, no way.
Yeah, ain't yeah. I ain't finna cap to y'all.
I ain't weighing myself in a minute, but I
bro, what
I
do you know. Mean? You got weigh-ins every week.
Look, I'm gonna keep it a buck.
Yeah,
I'm 311.
I knew it.
Well, I just love because he probably gets away with that when people ask him, like on our show. He's like, I haven't weighed in a while. We don't know, but they know they're on the they're
yeah,
in the league.
There's bro, a professional program
every single week.
Yeah,
he's like, yeah, that's true. Well, I know what I weigh. They're like, what is it? All right, it's 311. Which you know he's not telling you the truth. So really, I'm going to now guess it's like 319. Because there's no way he's telling you the actual number. He's already hiding it a little bit. So it's 319. 316.
That's a tight end.
It's Austin 316.
The world is so different. Yeah. It was a huge deal when a lineman, they got a 300-pounder on this line. It's a piece of beef you've never seen before. That's a tight end now. Different.
Quarterback news, there's a youngster who is having ACL surgery. He's done for the year. And another debuting starter next on The Fan.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. We'll take you up to 6:30. Herm Edwards of ESPN is on the show at 6. Of course, he coached Jaden Daniels at Arizona State. We'll ask him about that. Also, coming up in about 10 minutes, Jay Gruden was on the show Monday. He says you got to bring Jaden Daniels back because it's important to send a message late this season that not only is he back, but that the operation is back up and that you're going into the offseason ready to kick butt and take names. Do you buy that? We'll talk about that in our 5 o'clock hour. But some quarterback news around the NFL. Danny, we'll start with the Cleveland Browns. Shedeur Sanders is going to get an opportunity to make his first NFL start on Sunday. He came off the bench to play this past weekend against the Ravens. I don't know if you heard this or not. Nobody's mentioned this. But he hadn't gotten many first-team reps.
Did he? Now, I was actually going to ask how many first-team reps he got. Do we know?
I heard it was none.
Okay.
4-for-16 performance against the Ravens. Pretty ugly all the way around, not just him, the whole offense. And you'd expect that from a terrible Browns team. But now he gets a shot against the Raiders, and this is actually, oddly, for someone who's being set up to fail by the Cleveland Browns, like a really good landing spot.
As good a landing spot as you can have for them.
You just saw what Dak Prescott did against the Las Vegas Raiders. This defense is one of the worst in the NFL this year. From a passing game standpoint, they can be had. There's a lot of air in the secondary. Vegas is defensively on the season. I think they rank, 18th against the pass. Not as bad as I would have thought. 26 sacks per pass attempt. Only really Max Crosby gets to the quarterback for them. 18th in interception rate. But a chance for Shedeur Sanders to go out there against another bad team and not only a full week of reps, but show that maybe he can make more plays down the field than Dylan Gabriel did.
Or be more dynamic. I mean, Gabriel is the ultimate noodle arm, short intermediate. I'll get it out of my hands on time, but no guarantee what happens after that. Whereas Sanders, to me, has a little bit more of that playmaking gene. And some of that's going to be to his detriment, whereas he'll hold the ball for a bit longer. And that belief that I can make the play has gotten him into trouble at times, as you've seen. Going back to college, I mean, we have a very small pro sample. But there's something there, right? That, again, I didn't think he should have been a fifth rounder just on ability alone. But that's beside the point. Here we are. And, you know, out of the way Joe Flacco, out of the way Dylan Gabriel, here we are, Shedeur Sanders, in a meaningless one for Cleveland that's all of a sudden going to have a little bit more juice when you're talking about two teams that are terrible going at it.
By the way, their defense is a lot better than I thought. It's kind of middle of the pack. I don't know why. Maybe it was just watching the Cowboys game, but I thought I saw some numbers during that game about how bad they've been. But if you look at it, they've had some pretty good games. They held the Titans to 10, not that Tennessee's any good. The Broncos just beat them a couple weeks ago, but only scored 10 in that game. They gave up 31 to the Chiefs, 30 to the Jags, 33 to the Cowboys. So I'm not going to tell you it's great. 40 to the Colts, 41 to the Commanders early this season in a game on a short week when they traveled cross country. But yeah, I still think, you know, you could have to play a really good defense or a really good team, and that's not the case. So it is a chance for him to show well. I was hearing a couple of the guys that do radio in Cleveland talking about this, and they were joking that they are going to be watching this like it's the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Considering it's one of the matchups of the worst teams playing in the league this weekend. I mean, this game is between a Cleveland team that may pick in the top 5, 2-8, and a Raiders team that is going to pick in the top 5, 2-8. And yet, Browns fans are going to be locked in like they're playing a playoff game at Arrowhead Stadium or something. It's that kind of weekend. Every throw is a referendum, which is not how it should be for a first start. But welcome to 2025.
I was going to say, but they've done this forever, and it's with quarterback. I mean, no, I don't think any organization, the Bears, Washington, kind of pre-Jaden Daniels, everyone's, you know, always searching for that guy. There have been a few orgs that have just simply been without, and it's never happened for them. You know, in Chicago, they hope they finally got it with Caleb Williams, and in Cleveland, I think they're paying three guys that aren't Shedeur Sanders to play football. I'm not even talking about on their current roster. There's a suspended guy, an injured guy, a traded guy. It's got nothing to do with it. They have never gotten that position right. So you go through the list of Deshaun Kizer and Kizer rather, and there's a Kessler who led the team in passing a handful of years ago. And I remember which Kessler that was. A Luke McCown sighting, a Brandon Whedon, a Colt McCoy. They can't get that spot right. So yeah, this is their Super Bowl.
You disrespect Cody Kessler.
Cody Kessler.
I think he was here for a short time.
Walker Kessler plays for the Utah Jazz and is a center. That's a different guy.
Pretty sure Cody Kessler was in Washington with the Commanders on like the practice squad or something at some point before they were named that. All right, Michael Penix is hurt, tore his ACL. Now, supposedly not a full tear. This is a partial tear. This is a guy who tore his right ACL twice in college, in 2018 and in 2020. This is the left ACL. So it is the third ACL tear overall. First in this knee, so now both knees for Michael Penix, who I know he's not young for his age, essentially. Young for his age is the wrong phrase. Young for his number of seasons in the league. He's already 25 years old. But for a guy who's 25 to have three ACLs, like, this is officially worrisome for the Falcons. Not to mention, it wasn't going great.
Yeah. He's
completing 60% of his passes on the season. I don't really blame him. I think he's a victim of a terrible offense. You know how I feel about Zach Robinson. I just think he has done a bad job designing that passing game, especially, and the fact that they're in pistol 100% of the time is a joke with Bijan Robinson. That said, it is what it is. I mean, the numbers have been very pedestrian. Now he's hurt for the second time this season, I think the third time of his young career, and it's 3 ACLs on both legs for Michael Penix.
So if you remember going back to the pre-draft process, obviously we were locked in with either Daniels, May, or Williams if he fell, et cetera, and Penix wasn't on the table. But going through that quarterback class, I was a huge fan of Michael Penix. I think in the right place and time, I think that guy could be really, really good. My nervousness was, age, not really. I don't really care about that when it comes to quarterbacks. These guys play until their early 40s. It was the knee injuries. It was the knees, and that was sort of that's the thing that scares me a little bit. So maybe why I wouldn't take him over some of the other guys. And now it's kind of come home to roost. It hadn't been real good, to your point. That offense has crumbled, and he's got a knee injury that's going to keep him out probably the rest of the year.
He's also got a rocket for an arm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he spins it. It looks like Michael Vick, the way he throws that.
Yeah, there's an effortlessness to it.
With RPMs. Like, it's a left-handed. If you look at like rotations per minute on a fastball,
mm-hmm.
I'll bet you he's got one of the highest in the sport. So, your quarterback breakdown, TV show about quarterbacks, the National Football League, going into Week 12. All right, next, former quarterback in his playing days and a head coach in the NFL, Jay Gruden on Jaden Daniels says he's got to come back because you got to put the division on notice. That's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.